Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Here we go. Hour number four, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for an edition of the finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. What stood out from Wild Card Weekend? So much to appreciate and soak in here on a day where Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys have parted ways. We'll have to have a conversation about where the Cowboys rank in terms of the opening spots, the available head coaching spots. Now that the Cowboys are actually in this thing, are they at or near the top of the vacancies if you're one of these coaches? Because there's like the competition's not very hot. Talking about the Raiders and the Jets and the Saints.
Yeah,
we had the Athletic. The Athletic went ahead and polled several coaches, six current openings, and they voted the Cowboys number one.
Oh, really? Scale.
Cowboys were number one. Two was Jacksonville. Three actually was New England, even though that spot is filled now with Mike Vrabel. But the Cowboys were number one. The appeal is obvious. The roster is built to win now, one former head coach said. And working under Jerry Jones provides some job security. He's had five coaches since 2000, all of whom got at least 3 years. So maybe coaches are looking at that and thinking, okay, that's a little bit of stability for him.
I mean, I want to get fired ASAP, though, so I can double dip. You know, I don't care about job security. I got a 4 or 5 year contract. If you fire me after 1 year, I'm getting that all of that money.
Mm-hmm.
That's my mentality right there.
You know, to me, I think it might be New Orleans just because of what Sean Payton was able to do there over the years. I think there's a culture of letting the coach be the boss, and I want to explore that a little bit more, you know, before I've had a chance to sit down with anybody. I know I don't want the Jets. I know I don't want the Bears. The Jags, I can go there and be anonymous. Nobody's ever going to know my name. You know, if I come to the Cowboys, I am raising my visibility, my image in a massive way, as long as I don't totally screw it up like Dave Campbell or something, Brian.
Yeah, I feel like with Jacksonville, the pressure of the organization, not immense. The pressure of that division, not intense, you know?
Yeah, great division to be in.
Yeah, great division to be in. And you want to also think about it with like the old the NFC South, you know, that kind of thing where depending on where you want to go, where you want to be, you know, you don't want to deal with the AFC East with what's going on there, and surely don't want to be dealing with the NFC North. Green
but
Bay.
I definitely don't want to work with Trevor Lawrence, you know, and we got to dig out of that problem.
I don't know,
I want to find my own quarterback.
Yeah, the thing with Trevor Lawrence, though, is did have some success.
He didn't play good football.
I mean, 3 years ago, they were a team that, you know, you felt like the roster was pretty solid. You're right, though. The quarterback hasn't played worth a damn.
Yeah, the past season was really bad for him. Really, season and a half.
But,
all bad.
But I'll say, though, that, you know, if you're the guy that goes in there and kind of gets that thing back on path, you get a shot, especially in, like you say, in that division. You're not dealing with a lot of teams. I mean, the Texans and...
Yeah, Colts swung and missed maybe on their quarterback, so they're kind of going back to the drawing
board. You might be in pretty
good
shape there.
Tennessee's terrible right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with Dawson. Like, I would love to have the quarterback situation handled. I don't know if I'm viewing Dak or Trevor Lawrence as commodities at this point.
Give it a go for 1 year with Trevor Lawrence, and if it doesn't work, then you convince Khan and his son to pull a Russell Wilson and eat the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what you got to go in there and do.
Yeah, and you got me on this Aaron Glenn thing. I'd be looking forward to it. What about Robert Saleh as a head coach?
Yeah,
that'd be a thanks, but no thanks.
I want to go. I know that Saleh has been primarily a 49er, right? Until he took the Jets position.
I think so. I'll do a back check on him.
I think they lost. I think he lost some credibility in that locker room though too, with some of those Jet players. I know defensively they felt like that, but offensively couldn't get it right. So some of the hires that he made, I think that he, I would like to say that you know, that Aaron Glenn, to me, give me the fresh start guy, the guy with the new ideas. Maybe the guy that's messed it up a little bit would, you know, kind of, I think it's too quick for Saleh. You know what I'm saying? Coming right off the, even though Andy Reid was hired right after fired from
Philadelphia. It's a different level of coaching dominance, though.
No question.
Yeah. But I think that, to me, I think Robert Saleh needs to go back and DC it up again and then give it a run maybe a little bit later on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just, with the options that are out there, I think Aaron Glenn would be at the top. Robert Saleh would probably be somewhere around there close. But it's a bummer because I do believe in wanting to have an offensive-minded head coach. Because, I mean, just one, the idea of if you have Aaron Glenn and he nails the OC hire, it's mm-hmm. only going to be a matter of time before a team hires him away to go be their head coach. And so that is something that you're going to have a potential revolving door. Like, oh, we got this great offensive coordinator, and then it's a year, it's 2 years, and now your staff is being taken away from you. And when you look at the league right now, like, which guys are really staying around as non-offensive head coaches? Obviously, you have some CEO types. You have Harbaugh, of course, in Baltimore.
You know,
he's stuck around. Mike Tomlin stuck around as more of a defensive
Tomlin,
guy. But
Tomlin has only been a head coach 1 year longer than Harbaugh. 18 years to 17 years. How about that?
So the final four in the AFC, the Chiefs are the only one with an offensive coach right now. And this is just judging by, hey, this year. This can change year over year. Texans defense, Bills defense with McDermott, Ravens special teams with Harbaugh. Commanders defense. You've got Nick Sirianni's an offensive guy. Dave Campbell, I guess, would be an offensive guy. Not that he ever really called plays. And then we'll see what happens tonight. But both tonight's guys are offensive guys with McVay and Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell having come through the McVay tree.
Yeah, but just in terms of guys that stick around for a while that are defensive-minded head coach, Sean McDermott doing it with Buffalo for mm-hmm. sure right now. But by and large, you're seeing these teams that have been around for a while. These are offensive-minded coaches.
Yeah,
and we'll see about D'Amico Ryans, how long he sticks around. Seems awesome. You know, he's definitely a really good head coach. But is their offense going to be a perpetual problem for them here moving forward? The Slowik thing just hasn't worked out. Yes, they won the other day, but I don't know if you're even keeping him as your play caller. So I don't know. I still think you want an offensive head coach if you can get it. But unfortunately, with the way it's shaken out for the Cowboys, I think your best bet is Aaron Glenn.
I give that guy at Buffalo a lot of credit. He had Ken Dorsey and things weren't working there. But what did he do? He had another guy ready. You know, I think that's what these coaching staffs, what you need to do is when you're an assistant to the assistant, you need to be doing the things like the play caller. You need to be learning the offense. You need to be stealing ideas. You need to be that guy. So when Ken Dorsey is shown the door, well, then the next
Joe Brady's ready to
rock. Joe Brady's ready to go, and they get better. You know, I'm sure they've got other people, too, within the organization that are ready to go. These assistant to the assistants are the ones that are going to make the difference when you start losing coaches.
Okay, let's take a look at the weekend here. Jaden Daniels, I think, is the star of the playoff weekend in the NFL. In NFL history, there have been three instances of a team having zero turnovers and zero punts in a game behind a rookie starting quarterback. All three were by Jaden Daniels this season.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
the first time I watched him play, I was like, man, at the NFL level, this guy is different. He mitigated the running into violent collisions for the most part this year. You know,
Yeah, that's been huge. Like his ability to stay healthy, and he's taken some shots. I mean, he had another sort of cartoonish one last night there on the sidelines, but he pops back up. Other than getting, having his ribs banged up a little bit earlier in the season, he has been able to stay healthy, and he's running all over folks.
I mean, right now, I know that I want Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, beyond that, is Jaden Daniels the guy that you would be best to put your chips on as far as backing one quarterback with massive upside, the ability to dominate here for the next decade?
He's super accurate. He's well-liked by his teammates. He's a tough kid. His physical stature will not wow you, but, man, he's so smooth in the way he plays. I watched him for 2 years. Just he carried these LSU teams. He carried them. And there was no doubt in my mind.
He's carrying these guys.
When you watched him play, and I'm thinking, that was my fear of, like, okay, he's going to end up Like, he's my second best quarterback on the board, and I'm thinking, here people are going to think, brought us LSU alum. No, I watched this kid play snap after snap after snap, and he's not doing anything with the Commanders that he didn't do at LSU.
We saw all of it on tape. Yeah. And that's why I was going to
Washington. This is how he plays all the time.
Yeah, I was going to Washington pop-up here because I was a believer in Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Problem here is, we'll see, maybe it's a C.J. Stroud thing where, like, regular season next year he's not as good, but looks like he's here to stay, and that's scary.
So, he moves so much better than Stroud. He throws so much better than Hurts. All of these players, like, he's healthier than Burrow, at least until we find out otherwise. I think you'd say, game for game, I'll take Burrow over Daniels, but season for season over the next decade, I don't know how much longer Burrow's going to be in the league, you know, the way that this guy gets hurt. This is every bit the RG3 storyline from over a decade ago.
Well, it's eclipsed it now.
It's definitely eclipsed it. It's definitely
he's won a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that Bobby Belt comp, he needs to throw that out the way. Like, this is not RG3. I get the stats or whatever were similar. This guy is better than what Robert Griffin III is, and he didn't have a catastrophic knee injury at the end of his rookie season now. He's healthy, and he's won a playoff game.
For
12 touchdowns in the fourth quarter in overtime. 12. The guy's got a clutch gene that you cannot teach. Yeah. The moment is never too big for him.
RG3'd get out there, though, and make house calls. He was unbelievable.
He was awesome, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, he blew out his knee, and they handled it poorly.
They did.
Yeah, Daniels is, I mean, really, I think the only remaining question is obviously just staying power in general as defenses continue to learn and your athleticism slowly starts to decline on you. But I think it's really just the health question for a guy who is putting himself in vulnerable spots. Can he stay healthy? Because he's answered every single question. He's surpassed every expectation possible. He's sort of historic at the position for a rookie, doing what he's doing, doing a ton of heavy lifting for his team. It's not like, hey, I'm just riding a really awesome defense and rushing attack. It's like, no, dude, it's third and fourth down, and we need you to come up with a huge play late in the game or all game long, really. It's just, please, Jaden Daniels, get us going on third and fourth down. So he's absolutely unbelievable. And yes, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a problem for quite some time here. On the flip side of that, the Bucs hurt themselves so much last night. I mean, to have the ball with 6 minutes left at the 10-yard line and you're down three, but it's second and one from the 12-yard line, and then you end up having to kick the field goal and never seeing the football again.
Yeah. Steve Sarkisian thought that was pathetic.
I mean, dude, even Eberflus was kind of scratching his head on some of that stuff. It was really, really bad. I felt for the Bucs last night. Graham Barton, rookie center, snapping a ball when he's not supposed to, fumbling balls. It's just, it was really, really bad for the Bucs. But Jaden Daniels now versus the Lions, that's going to be so much fun. On the other side of things, you have some history. You have some dominance. The Bills' fifth home game this season with a 20-plus scoring margin and zero turnovers. That's the most home games for any NFL team in a single campaign where they're doing 20-plus and no turnovers. They're just dominating you on the ground. I mean, Josh Allen didn't have to be crazy Superman yesterday because James Cook and the rushing attack is real. And so now you get Allen and Cook with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I mean, Jackson and Henry combined for 267 rushing yards.
They had 100 yards after the first quarter to Buffalo. It was unbelievable, but now...
Oh, well, Buffalo, yeah. I love Deion Dawkins crazy, like, right? Shoving James Cook for an extra 10 yards.
Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. But yeah, both these teams are coming in with just incredible rushing attacks, and that's really what destroyed Buffalo in the first game, was just Baltimore running all over, and we'll see if they've got a new plan for that.
You have Ladd McConkey, 9 catches, 197 yards, setting an NFL rookie record for receiving yards in a playoff game. The only players, rookie or not, with more receiving yards in a playoff debut... Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas. That one play was absolutely fantastic after Herbert's been sacked twice in a row. It's just like, all right, let's go it up to old Ladd here. But they got nobody else. They got to get him some weapons, man. But Herbert, he spit the bit in a huge way. I mentioned this earlier, but this is pretty incredible. Bo Nix to Troy Franklin early in that game. Mm-hmm. First rookie-to-rookie TD in NFL playoff history. We've never had a rookie to a rookie stunning touchdown.
And Oregon Duck teammates.
A lot of years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, dude, it really is. Jordan Love, though, man, the turnovers. Oh, my gosh.
He looked so bad yesterday. It really cost him the football game because their defense played outstanding.
Yeah, the defense was legit. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback to win a playoff game with 131 yards passing or less since Of course, Jalen Hurts did it versus the Niners in 2022.
There you go. Jalen Hurts just beating Jalen Hurts.
Their rushing attack and their defense getting it done in a big way for the Eagles. That's now 0-6 in their last six for the Steelers, by the way, from a playoff standpoint.
You know, T.J. Watt never won a playoff game.
T.J. Watt's never won a playoff game?
Never won a playoff game. Brewski was calling him out yesterday in their pregame show.
Brewski's calling him out.
He's like, where these defensive players that are so good, where was he? Where was T.J. Watt yesterday? Still never won a playoff game in his career. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like T.J. Watt, but it sounded personal.
To me, I think Jordan Love slid back in a major way over the last couple of months from being that up-and-coming player last year to now, like his decision-making being second-guessed. And there might be some Dak comparisons in here as far as compiling some pretty good stats against mediocre teams but never having the big win.
I wonder how healthy he was as well.
He was dealing
with a ton of injuries.
If you're a Packers fan, that's what you're hanging your hat on all season long.
Yeah. He was just banged up. He was just hurt.
Okay. I mean, you'll take it. Yeah. I'm not throwing away or anything, but I'm like, man, I don't know if he's going to get to that next level.
That's a crazy TJ Watt nugget you had. How about this one? Kenny Galladay and Cooper Kupp were drafted in 2017. They have the same amount of 1,000 receiving yard seasons. Two. Cooper Kupp has 2,000 yard receiving seasons. Now, obviously, one of them was his ridiculous O-boy season. Here. But it's
so banged up.
Yeah, the injuries. Yeah. He has as many 1,000-yard seasons as Kenny Galladay, who is like a punchline.
No longer in the league, right, Kenny Galladay?
I don't know what team that he's on.
I don't believe he is. I don't believe.
He's probably still making money off that Giants deal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
In addition to the finest in the books, it's time to hit the Expressway. LA Live is coming up at 5:40. We have all your Cowboys Mike McCarthy talking points coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation, the Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. LA Live with Lucius coming up at 5:40 here on The Fan. This segment of The Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. Okay, let's jump into it. Everything that's been breaking throughout your broadcast day here in the world of sports. The first thing I want to touch on here just briefly is baseball, because the Texas Rangers are not going to get the Japanese sensation Roki Sasaki. Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays are the three finalists for Roki. And this one stinks because this international money wouldn't impact the luxury tax. So I felt like it was the perfect opportunity for Ray Davis to get in there and splash around some cash, knowing that it wasn't going to hurt your luxury tax threshold, competitive balance tax type of situation. But apparently Roki has decided he's not interested in coming to the Texas Rangers. So just a couple of teams left, and decision time is coming up early next week. Okay. Yes, Brian?
Well, no, I was going to talk to you about that pitcher,
yeah,
if I could. I know that there was a couple of teams, my guys in the league were thinking that he was going to end up either at the Mariners or that he was potentially going to end up at the Padres.
Yeah.
And that was because of, like, player development, pitching development.
Okay.
Like, one of the reasons why maybe that Texas would not be in the mix is because they weren't developing pitchers. They were going out and getting pitchers, but like pitching development, like what the Mariners do, was something that he was very, very interested in. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up with the Mariners.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're a minor leaguer, you know, or an amateur player, that could make sense. But, I mean, you're coming here to work with Mike Maddux and Nathan Eovaldi and Jacob deGrom. And I would say over the last couple, 2-3 years, this big league organization has done a hell of a job. I wouldn't want to go into the minor league system and try my chances here with the Rangers compared to what they have going on with the Mariners or the Dodgers or the Braves. But I felt like, well, Chuck, our big league pitching coaching is pretty dang good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think what Maddux has done, the three finalists now are just Dodgers, Padres, Blue Jays. So at some point, he might have told the M's he's not going there. But
okay. I know that they were talking about, like, the two teams that were mentioned the most to me from my Major League scout guys were the Mariners and the Padres.
Which would have made some sense. But then maybe it comes down to the Padres now, because Patson said the final three, and they'll find out by January 23rd. But maybe it'll be sooner rather than later.
It's just so difficult if you're not in a West Coast town. I mean, that's already a monster airplane ride. What is that, 12, 13 hours to Japan from California? Yeah. And then, you know, you add in now coming to Texas for another 4 or 5 hours and out to Toronto. I mean, you got to just love what they got going on with that organization, or the fact that it's a big international city to consider them.
I don't even know what would be closer. Do you fly east or west if you're going from Japan to Toronto? So I know that would be a logistical nightmare for him. But, you know, one of those top players, and, you know, we don't get him this time, but we've had our success, and we'll see about the next one. What coaching decision the Cowboys made over the last decade would you go back and switch if you are the Cowboys? That is somewhat realistic. I was just thinking about, you know, the opportunities that have sort of slipped through their hands as they've sat around with Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy, grabbing Andy Reid before he went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I think is an obvious one, but I don't know. Do you look at, I mean, this kind of goes to the Kellen Moore thing as well. Do you look at an Eagles coach as if you're Jerry Jones, as we don't want to play in that sandbox now? Mm-hmm. Once you're an Eagles coach, you're a little bit tainted. It feels like, you know, that could play into it if I was the owner, for sure. I mean, once you put on an Eagles lid, I can never look at you the same again.
Yeah. let me ask you guys something.
That goes
here
for you too, Brian.
Thank you.
Yeah. We've been looking at you sideways.
We all talked about the Aaron Glenns and people like that, mm-hmm. and that we want a tougher guy.
Yeah.
Does Kellen Moore fit into the tougher guy part?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, no. I think it would be a laughable hire.
I don't think
he deserves to be a head coach.
He's not even well respected from a play calling standpoint. No.
But the only reason,
definitely not a leader of men, stand up in front of the team and lead the charge.
Right. Like, could you imagine
what
that?
Is he bringing to the table at all? Other than he knows the Joneses.
Yeah, they just love him. And that's the only reason it's not something we would want to do. It's just thinking realistically on what they would do.
Yeah.
They have a high amount of respect for him.
Yeah.
And I guess it would keep your quarterback, who's going to be here for the next 4 years, happy. Because I think Dak likes him, and that probably means Doug Nussmeier's your offensive coordinator.
972 asked, Cowboys should have hired Sean Payton when they had a chance a couple of years ago. I think that's another no-brainer. Jim Harbaugh last year.
Harbaugh, Payton, for
what
sure.
What if I threw out, they never let Bill Callahan leave?
Well, Garrett tried to make him stay, and he called Garrett the C-word.
Yeah, so you get rid of Garrett, which I don't think anybody would have been upset about, but I don't know that offensive line's ever been in a better place than what he was doing with the development.
The fact that he removed him as the OC might have been the biggest part.
Sure. At that moment, you should have fired Jason Garrett and kept running game Moses?
Yeah, running game Jesus. Moses, yeah.
I mean, Callahan was genius.
They've kind of just been shuffling offensive line coaches. Like, we weren't sure really how good Philbin was. I don't know how good Mike Solari's been since he's been here, but that offensive line coach, you knew your offensive line was going to be coached up with Callahan at least. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jerry Jones' statement on the matter. There's a lot of stuff in here. I think the TLDR is that, you know, they had a joint review of all the aspects. The discussions were thorough, received an appropriate amount of time. Prior to reaching the point of negotiations, it became mutually clear that it would be better for each of us to head in a different direction. I thank Mike and wish him the best. So they never really got down to that tough of negotiations. Yeah. Tom Pelissero reporting it came down to an agreement on the length of the deal. That, you know, that was kind of the point at which their discussions ended. For me, I think Jerry was trying to get him to finish out this rebuild on a one-year deal, maybe option for a second.
Yeah, maybe 2 years, I think.
Maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have feelers in Chicago and New Orleans and they don't want to make a commitment to you here, and Jerry is at the same time telling you, we're not going to spend money on next year's team. You know, your last two draft classes have just been okay. It is going to be more of the same. And I think it's been miserable and depressing around these Cowboys this year. I think maybe the grass can appear greener. In the Adam Schefter story, it said there is interest coming in from New Orleans and Chicago. I don't know if that's genuine, but if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm thinking if I don't have a real chance in with the Saints or the Bears, then, you know, maybe that's all she wrote. But yeah, if you, the owner and GM isn't appreciating you after 5 years and putting up with all of his stuff and the 3-12 win seasons, I think maybe that was the deal breaker right there. Pelissero adding, though, you could have some different types of candidates, names we haven't seen elsewhere that are in the mix in Dallas. Who could this be, Brian?
I'll tell you what, I kind of felt like, I know I tweeted out about Jason Witten as maybe a guy to get an interview. I'm talking to people during breaks around the league. They said keep an eye on Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach from the Green Bay Packers. Keep an eye on Rich Bisaccia.
Raiders interim coach.
He was here at one time.
Yeah,
he was,
didn't, you do know, a bad job with the Raiders.
Yeah, but they're kind of like, there's like, I've called three different guys, and they're like, hey, listen, I'm just telling you, man, if you're talking about different dudes, this Rich Bisaccia, leader of men, mm-hmm. respect in the locker room, kind of pulls things together, stands up in front of guys.
All three phases.
Yeah, so but if you're looking for an outside name, that might be one you need to keep an eye on.
How about this quote from Mike Vrabel today as he takes the job in New England? How awesome would it be to have this kind of presence? He said, we're removing entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day. Mm-hmm. If you could boil it down to the Cowboys and what they need, is that what they need? That kind of accountability and discipline and structure for the team, or is it something else?
Well, I think that would be a huge part of it. Yes, it would be Jerry allowing somebody to come in and really set the tone for what we're going to be about on a day-to-day basis. This is the standard. This is the mindset, and this is how we go about business. And Jerry, of course, is not here for that in any way. But yeah, Jerry opening the door for somebody to come in and actually be the football guy to run things.
Yeah.
100%, that's the missing ingredient.
I think you can use words so much, but the accountability of if I don't do my job today, I'm not going to start or I might not be here. I think that sends like the kind of motivation through a player that nothing can replace. No amount of encouragement or discipline or yelling at you, I think, is more powerful than everybody's going to know I lollygagged so much in practice that I can't play this week. You know, and when you take that away from your head coach, which I believe Jerry Jones does, it's really tough to motivate people to do their absolute best. Now, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys have had a decent amount of success. We good, Lucius? They've had a decent amount of success over the years. But, you know, for all the talent that they've had on the team, I think that's a missed opportunity and maybe the reason why they haven't done better.
Okay, so shout out to Will Chambers. He just alerted me of this, and Lucius is doing an awesome job producing on the fly here. This is Troy Aikman, who was just on ESPN Monday Night Countdown getting ready for Vikings-Rams, sounding off on Jerry.
Job. I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is covered or whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's
and
fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So you know, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
And it's because of Jerry Jones. That's why. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that, like, hey, Jerry lets us come in there and we get to do the draft show. And I love being a part of that. And he's always treated us tremendously. But there's been one constant. We've said this time and time again. And now as he's getting older, I think it's probably only getting worse, right? Father time comes for all of us. So until they really are willing to make a change structurally at the top, nothing's going to change no matter who the head coach is here. Because that person is not able to do the job that they need to do the way that they need to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And they're amazing when it comes to business. I mean, as an owner, what Jerry's done, he's one of the best in sports history, if not the best.
Yeah.
And if they allowed their focus to just be on that and selling and working with their partners and all of that stuff and just let Will McClay, let the scouts cook, let them just do their job, then maybe things could be different. The greatest thing he ever did was hire Jimmy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If he never hired Jimmy Johnson, I don't know how we'd look at Jerry Jones here in Dallas,
yeah.
Right? Because outside of that, and this is ultimately what sticks in his craw, there's been no success. There's
yeah.
been none. There's been a couple of playoff wins. There's been some division titles. Cool.
It comes down to me that, you know, the biggest thing that he's looking for is not coaching acumen or leading men or being able to inspire somebody, but it's the loyalty to let him do his thing his way while you're making the most of it, you know. And when your priorities of finding a coach are upside down like that, it's going to be very difficult, you know. So ultimately what he gets is, you know, the guy that doesn't have better options. Although, you know, I think if the money is right, the opportunity is there. This is such a spotlight to be in. I would probably disagree with Troy Aikman a little bit, you know, that I think it is still a highly coveted job. But the difference is Jerry Jones isn't going to consider those Bill Parcells-like guys or Jimmy Johnson-like guys. Like, you have to be willing to go toe-to-toe with Jerry Jones on a daily basis, probably going into his office and screaming at him that you need to be allowed to do it your way or the team is going to suffer. And you have to be willing to not be scared that you are going to lose your job.
job. And I think Jerry has probably become pretty adept at sniffing out that trait in coaching candidates, you know, by either talking with them or talking to people that have worked with him. And he's not even going to go down the path of a dynamic, powerful leader like a Mike Vrabel, you know, or, you know, Jimmy Johnson or Bill Belichick that are going to insist on it being their way and fight Jerry. Like when Jerry says, I don't have time to have a bad time, he doesn't mean we're doing everything possible to win because I can't stand losing. He means I need people around me that are going to continue to make this an enjoyable process to come in here and work on a you know, season in and season out basis. We have top five candidates here, some names maybe we haven't discussed as of yet. We go to the morning news, and they have five candidates here for you to consider. Is Cliff Kingsbury on the cards in any way? Is that any amount of probability currently the Washington offensive coordinator?
It's all going to be about the staff there. You know, what guys can he pull? The offensive line coach. You get the familiarity with the Washington and how that whole thing works a little bit now because of Dan Quinn being there. But yeah, if you're looking for an offensive coach, offensive minded guy, a guy that kind of has figured out that he needs to have better relationships. He didn't have good relationships there with the Cardinals at all. Mm-hmm. He was an immature head coach. And I think, you know, being away from it a little bit might make you appreciate things. He kind of saw Dan Quinn and the way he has plans, the way he builds. That the second time around, you might get a different guy. But you're getting a really sharp offensive guy. But the relationships have to be there, and he has to do a better job of that.
Yeah, I just think that's too big of a risk. I know Kingsbury is a good coordinator. If I could bring him in as OC or quarterbacks coach, I'd be ecstatic about it. Yeah. I think his development of young quarterbacks might be the best thing that he does. If we have a veteran quarterback, I don't know how much value is there. How about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, a guy with some NFL experience?
Yeah, I think Lane Kiffin would absolutely take this job if given the opportunity, but I don't know if Lane Kiffin is hunting NFL jobs. That would have to be something that, you know, that – you know, he'd probably have to put out the feelers and stuff like that to be, to get on the radar here. But I know the Cowboys know of Lane Kiffin, and I'd be interested in fact that he would take an interview on this job, knowing the position he's in at Ole Miss. It's a little bit different from college coaches. Once you start to talk about interviewing and leaving and things like that, it gets a little hairy.
I think number three on the list is just probably a non-starter, even though Jerry Jones has shown over the years he admired things about John Gruden. The controversy there, the racist and homophobic emails that he posted, I think that would just be such a bad look, and it would be difficult to support Jerry Jones if he decided to go with John Gruden. Plus, as Brian has told us, not a good personnel guy. No. So if you want your head coach to be involved in the draft, I think John Gruden would put you down the wrong path there.
You know, and you got to wonder too, and this is, you know, John did what John did. You know, there's no hiding that, and the league kind of hung him out on this stuff.
And then he sued the league.
You don't know if Jerry's involved in those emails. You know, and I don't know if Jerry wants to be brought back into that.
And then Brian Flores, the Minnesota defensive coordinator, there's a good candidate. If you want to go defense, you couldn't do better than him. I just love the Sarkisian offense. You know, I think the $50 million buyout makes it a non-starter. And then the fact that you're transitioning from college to the pros, I'd be skeptical about. But if you could go back to what he was in Atlanta, like in 2018 or whatever, he gets fired, and just take him there or hire him in 2020 before he gets the job at UT, I'd be very curious to see what everything would look like with Sarkisian. Some of those plays are just so dang fun. I think it's maybe the epitome of what we're looking for in a lot of ways.
And also juggle a lot of drama behind the scenes that goes on there with Texas, that some of which does not even get reported.
Yeah. Pretty good quarterback in his day, too. Did he play against Sark?
BYU. I was not there. I was not him.
He's a little bit younger than you.
Yeah. When did Sark come out of school? Because I was
late 80s. He was part of that top 10 Cotton Bowl.
No, I was not a Sark guy.
Well, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup now, where Lucius Alexander has a Monday edition of LA Live.
Yeah, who was that Dallas Goedert stiffed arm twice in a row?
It's a great question. Who was that player?
23?
I hope it wasn't my guy, Javon Bullard.
Jeez, dude.
Oh, was it Jair Alexander?
It might have been Alexander.
He didn't want to talk after the game.
That would make sense.
Nah, I would go straight to the gym if I was him.
Yeah.
And post. Look where I'm at.
Is it's number 24, Valentine.
24, okay.
It's Valentine.
Oh, my gosh, the former
Carrington Valentine.
Carrington. Blake Carrington.
You know, from Carrington. Dynasty.
Hey.
He got him with a kind of a truck stick heave-ho first, too. I think he hit him three times.
Boy, it's so bad, man. It's really bad.
He kept doing it, too. Like I don't even think he had to keep going at it, but he wanted to.
You ever see that video of the politician, and they were, like, wearing him out? Yeah. He said, get your ass back. And he mushed that dude in the face. Get.
Boy, that UT tight end had a hell of a stiff arm Friday night, didn't he? But then he pointed it, dude.
Yes, and they called that flag. That was trash.
Nah, let them boys play, man. I really did not like that. All right, let's get into a Monday, Friday edition of LA Live. Right, it's at the great Rick James. He'd be happy to see Buffalo winning.
All right, you square.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe.
That weed, that weed.
It'll make you dance to some of everything.
Get on and buzz down.
Everybody get high.
You ain't never heard a crackhead say, I ain't got no money today, so I ain't about to go smoke no crack. You ain't never heard that. Why? Because they do it no matter what. They get it done.
Yeah.
Go out there today with that crackhead energy.
Yeah.
Go be a crackhead. I mean, don't go smoke crack. I'm just trying to give some morning motivation, man. I don't know how else to say this. Hone in on that crackhead energy. Don't do crack, but be a crackhead. But not a crackhead. Just have a f***ing good day.
Yeah, this is LA Live for Monday, January 13th, 2025. It is a Monday, Friday here in LA Live. And go out there with that crackhead energy this week. Don't do crack, but have that crackhead energy. Now, he may be talking from experience because I heard him getting a groove right here.
I'm just trying to give some morning motivation, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, he might be talking from experience.
Is that crackhead dialect?
Yeah, I'm just trying to tell you, baby. It's me. You know me, baby. It's me.
Be desperate, though. Be hungry.
Yeah, be hungry,
maybe
man.
Maybe go fast.
Make it happen.
You know?
Make it happen. You got to rap like the Rents do, as they say. It is a Monday, Friday here in LA Live. Shout out to the now disbanded Dallas rap group PPT for that name. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I definitely did. And I thank everyone for the birthday wishes. I appreciate
you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, man, I was telling everybody about your breadsticks, Broadus.
Oh, man.
I was telling everybody. I was like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
They were so damn good.
The breadsticks.
There was cheese on them, garlic. Yeah. It was just... You really put your foot in that, dog.
I just tried to make those things by scratch.
You need to go talk to the folks at the Olive Garden.
Bro,
I think Olive Garden's
level
the best
them up.
One. I think I've ever...
A little too
ones.
Salty.
Yeah, the Olive Garden or me.
Olive Garden.
Oh, I thought I hit him with too much salt too.
No, I thought it was
sometimes
amazing.
That cheese makes him too salty.
No, that was amazing, man. You did that. I cannot wait for another round.
Thank you, sir.
G Bag for the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, which I've been going through. I've been going through it. I'll get to you. Just sit tight. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow Solly Von G Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here. Comes from the Pat McAfee broadcast of the Cotton Bowl. Tim Tebow jumped on, got behind the mic, showing off his QB IQ. He was showing off his QB IQ and called for a QB sneak, and it happened.
You know one other thing that we haven't seen today? We haven't seen a keep by Will Howard on a zone read when they think it's going to a Travion, a Quinshon. That could be a really perfect time to pull that out, too. Because he's a capable runner. Just ask the Big 12 of what he did to him.
Travion Henderson's in the huddle. Matthew McConaughey's losing his mind. He's asking the football gods in Texas Nation to come alongside with your voices. We need this one. A triple stamp and a double stamp here. Will Howard's making checks. So is the Texas defense. Will Howard, quarterback keeper. Good call, Tim Tebow.
You want to keep your feet, young man.
Oh, no.
Will Howard got tackled by the 20-yard line. Great call by
great
you.
Call,
but also,
it
great tackle.
It is a great equalizer.
great tackle. They need to fall back and let Mac just breathe for a second. He has some winners in that right man.
Yeah.
Tackled by the 20-yard line.
Bro, he has some winners in there.
20 gets the tackle.
I love how he's doing play-by-play from the sideline.
Yes.
You know, like, can he see everything? I mean, is he like
They have like the end zone. They're sitting there watching from the, like, under the field goal.
Okay, post. So they're under the goal post. Yeah. I didn't know where he stood for this
And
thing.
I think that's the one where they were coming in, so he was kind of seeing the offense develop that way.
That's the Tony Siragusa spot right there. Yeah. Legendary place to broadcast from. Yep. I think these guys have a man crush on each other a little bit, Lucius. I think Smart told him, hey, look out for this QB keeper in the fourth quarter. You want to look smart.
You think so? Tim.
Well, yeah. Herbie had it too.
Did he?
Herbie made the call as
gave
well.
Gave it to Tim Tebow. Okay. You
know, they kind of saw
Dawson, a little hating right there.
I've never stopped hating on Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I love you, Timmy.
Hell of a guy.
Christianity.
It was his belief. It was the Tim Tebow.
Why do you hate God, Gavin?
God, I mean, I love God. I love Tim Tebow, right?
It's his damn fans when he had that 1 year in Denver that were trying to tell me, no, this guy's amazing.
He's the greatest.
You know? I never forgot it.
He was the greatest. Hey, who was the black dude on there with the Pat McAfee broadcast that was doing a color commentary?
I think he's with him on the normal show.
Darius Butler.
Yeah, former NFL corner.
Oh, he was in his bag, dog, when it comes to the color commentary of the game. I was like, okay, bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, he can paint quite a picture for you there.
Yes.
And yeah, he's on the main McAfee show throughout the week. I'm pretty sure full time.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's on.
Yeah.
So, him and A.J. Hawk trying to give kind of the defensive perspective.
A.J. Hawk always comes in just for the second hour.
Hawk's just smoking a cigar. He's trying to do the least amount of talking possible. And you can tell during the game, too. It's like, just let Darius
just let him smoke,
analysis.
Man. Yeah, I feel you, bro. All right, L.A. Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Looking over the weekend, and man, these L.A. fires have been devastating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are they done yet?
Like, no, they're still not done. 24 people. God rest their souls. They have lost their lives during this fire situation. 40,000 acres in LA area have burned to nothing. 40,000 acres. I mean, I don't think you understand how big that is.
No.
The whole city of Altadena gone. The whole city. That's like waking up one day and saying Oak Cliff has burned to the ground. God, we don't want that to happen. But I'm just saying, that's how huge that is, man. And they are all nervous because the Santa Ana winds are coming back around, and that's the winds that got it kind of kicked off.
Yeah,
you know, they were blowing like the trees on fire. Just the winds were just blowing it everywhere. All the embers. So scary, man.
I need to find a great place for reliable info on this, because whenever I search LA fires on Twitter, it's just a dumpster fire.
Yeah, well,
for another reason,
it's Twitter. It's Twitter. With all the damage to the LA area, people are concerned about the mudslides as well, because mudslide season is on the way when the spring hits here.
The trees hold up the mud.
Thank you.
Now they're gone.
Little signs right there, people. Just a little bit of signs. Lots of celebrities have lost their home and have been affected by the fires. Paris Hilton lost her Malibu beach house. John Goodman, bro.
Yeah.
John Goodman lost his crib.
Yeah.
Miles Teller from my TV show that I love so much, The Offer.
Mm-hmm.
Miles
so good.
Teller lost his. Man, it is so scary and sad. And I'm, of course, you know, lots of people lost their homes, but celebrities we know, that's why I'm saying their names.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins, his house was destroyed.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Billy. Yeah, that's the spot. If you're not in Beverly Hills, like, come it's on. Close to the airport, you're like, you're in, you're home, you got the best view in the world. So, I mean, I feel like when I was driving through that area, like, every other house had to be a celebrity or an extremely rich person because the real estate alone, a small plot's tens of millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Since you brought that up, the people go in and buy that up now? You think
I don't know what you do yet. Would you just get the plot?
Yeah, that's
now you got a whole lot to build, and you hope everybody's going to build around you.
Yeah, but you have people that are just saying, I don't want to go through this again. You know, I mean, it's some of the most beautiful land in the world.
Yeah.
And you wonder if people like in the Malibu area and all that will just say, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm moving somewhere else. And
listen,
I mean, somebody's going to go in there and buy all that land.
What's my man? Forrest Gump.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is going to leave his house because he has survivor's remorse.
Yeah.
Because he's the only house standing on the block and everybody else is gone. So he's like, I'm just going to leave it. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I think Good Samaritan.
I don't know if there's another place like that in all of America. So I think I would rebuild, hopefully get some insurance money. And I want like a 20-foot wide moat, you know, big old, let's fireproof me. We're not building anything out of wood.
No. You know? No. Billy Crystal lost his home, and it was filled with all types of memorabilia, especially a lot of sports memorabilia.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a sports guy.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's house, his Malibu house, burned down to the ground while he was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Joe Rogan, he was talking to Joe Rogan, asking him questions, and he was like, my house is probably on fire right now.
Yeah, he said
it. I mean, I'm here, I'm talking. My house is probably on the ground right now.
He said, I won't have one by the time I get back, most likely. Yeah. Mel Gibson also said, while on Joe Rogan's podcast, that his friends have cured cancer.
Yeah, four of them. Taking that ivermectin.
Listen.
He thinks that these LA fires were planted, too.
Okay, okay.
I'll tell you a good story.
Okay.
I have three friends.
I believe that.
All three of them had stage 4 cancer. All three of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
Jesus. They took some, what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
I'm hearing that a lot.
They drank hydrochloride something or other.
There's studies on that now where people have proven that
they've... People drinking methylene blue and stuff like that.
Yeah, methylene blue, which was a fabric dye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a textile dye. And now they find out it has profound effects on your mitochondria.
Yep.
He doesn't sound right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Oh, I don't know.
He sounds like he did during those voicemails.
Oh, well, he's Mel Gibson. I was watching a little bit of his interview with Joe Rogan, and he has this demeanor where
he does.
He's just,
his eyes get real.
He's breathing real hard the whole time. He's real focused on you. Yeah. My God, he's an intense guy. That's his resting.
How's he still alive?
That's him resting, dog.
Sounds like a cardiac event waiting for Gestapo.
He scares the hell out of me.
Hell of an actor. We need to see this through, though, because if this is real, we need to really make sure that this is out there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I mean, come on, because I don't
want cancer.
Yeah, I don't want it, and I don't necessarily agree that everybody who's trying to cure cancer is actually trying to cure cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is the answer or not, but I mean,
I'm 100% with you, my guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much money they're making off of cancer.
Yeah.
They don't want a cure for cancer.
I saved my life, but I'm dead broke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dead broke. Mm-hmm. I got to move in with my parents, bankrupts 4 times. I'm out of here.
Well, then your parents get it and your inheritance is flushed, in their last 2 years. So they don't have anything to pass on to you. It's their final grift,
Their final grift. Yeah, I hear you, big dog. Mel Gibson also said The Passion of the Christ 2 is on the way. He's working on this.
The resurrection,
baby. Resurrection story. You will see the origin of the devil. We're going to get the devil backstory, fam. What? And he also took a shot at Buddha.
Well, the resurrection is the one that is the most difficult for people to swallow.
Yes.
That's the one that requires the most faith.
The most faith and the most belief, yeah, resurrection.
Yeah.
Who gets back up 3 days later after he gets murdered in public? Who gets back up under his own power? Buddha didn't do that shit.
Right.
You know.
Dang right. Nobody else did.
My man said, right.
Nobody else can claim that.
I would
argue it takes just as much faith not believe in it that it does, because if you don't believe in it, it takes a lot of faith not to believe in it.
Because
what else is out there? What's next? Okay, if you're right, if it's not true and you're right, okay. What's your... I guess
good
life
luck,
is
Chuck.
Meaningless.
Good luck, Chuck, is what you're saying to me.
Yeah, good luck, Chuck. Exactly. You got faith. You got faith either that it happened or it didn't. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of that one.
Absolutely not. The internet was going... they were roasting Wolf Blitzer over his TV setup. Man. You guys seen that?
No.
Wolfie? Yeah, Wolf. Now, he had a Buffalo Bills hat on. This man was raised in Buffalo, not born in Buffalo. I think he was born in Germany. Germany? Yeah, he was raised in Buffalo, went to high school in Buffalo, went to college in Buffalo. This man is Buffalo. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Wolf Blitzer posted a photo on Twitter of him standing next to his TV, pointing at the score, looking ridiculous, dog.
Well, it's one of those, like, it's not, I don't even know if this is an HD TV.
It is a 2003, 2004 model television.
Eric, did he get your old TV?
That's a hell of a 28-inch. That looks like the one.
Flat screen. Eric got the old Christmas TV.
I had it out front by the curb. He must have scooped it.
It's like, hell yeah, give me this.
Yeah, like, he does not care, dog. I'm pretty sure he bought that on his first CNN contract.
Oh, yeah.
1981.
We've got all types of money in the bank. I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah. It was sitting on a heavy wood entertainment center.
Yeah. I see bunny ears back.
It's like an original Sharp television.
Bro, it's probably like 800 pounds. He's got a real VCR player.
Oh no.
With a tracking situation.
Oh no.
He's tracking. I'm pretty sure he watches that VCR too. DVD and CD combo. He's got 8 damn remotes. 8 damn remotes, bro.
They're all in place, too.
It is ridiculous.
At least 7 of those would be missing in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
The back's popped open, no batteries in them.
Shout out to Wolf Blitzer,
moving
man.
The batteries from one to the other kind of thing. Yeah.
Giving it the old thumbs up on this one,
he's a full-on millionaire with that television setup. That is bothering me. That is from 1999.
He's from that generation.
He watched the countdown on that one.
Yeah. For sure. Yes, I think this is the original HD TV, actually.
Yeah, I think this is the
probably
one.
Cost him $3,200 for a 28-incher.
Yeah. That's what I'm $2,800 you paid for that right there.
I remember walking into Sears late 90s and seeing those things like, oh my goodness, I hope I can be rich enough to afford one of these one day. Now they're giving them out for $99.
Yep. 100%. 100%. And before I get out of here, damn, I'm up against it. This guy right here smoked the national anthem in Philly. His name is Vianna Sachs. He's big dog. You did your thing. You smoked it, big dog.
Oh, wow.
Smoked it.
Yeah.
This is up there with Whitney Houston and Marvin Gaye. Mm. They had a real life eagle fly over.
Yeah.
A real eagle. A real eagle. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. Holla.
Thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the GBAC Nation. Well, Chuck, what is on deck, buddy?
All right, let's get into a little bit of a Chuck wagon. Did Magic take some shots at Jerry Jones? And what do you think about this hypothetical? Would you trade for this coach? That's next.